Thank you for joining us on this episode of Eminent Teachnology with Dr. Rochelle Newton and Drew Stinnett, where we examine current and emerging technologies through the lens of diversity and equality.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of Eminent Teachnology with Dr. Rochelle Newton and Drew Stinnett. Today, we have a quote-unquote fun episode where we're going to do a Drew at the Movies, and we're just going to talk about some movies that have come out this year, and we're going to sort of like loosely relate them back to technology and DEIB, but it's not going to be totally connected, but everybody will use their imagination and pretend that we are still a tech and DEIB podcast. So, Rochelle, the first movie I wanted to talk about, and this is going to be in order of awful to amazing. So we're going to start with awful movies. And this is not a movie that I enjoy. It got a lot of hype around it. It's a Netflix film called Damsel that stars Millie Bobby Brown, who was, I think most people know her. She's one of the main characters on Stranger Things. Damsel is, again, a Netflix movie about a princess who, as soon as she gets married to the prince, they throw her into a cave of a dragon as like a human sacrifice, and she has to work her way out of the human sacrifice dragon cave to kill the royal family and pretty much survive. Have you watched this one yet, Rochelle?
Okay, Drew. Okay, let's set the record straight right here. Okay, so Drew, you know me very well. And you know what my shortcomings are, if you could call them shortcomings. I do not watch anything that's scary or anything that's violent. So what's the answer to your own question, Drew? You already know the answer.
I was going to say it's not very violent, but there is like a lot of dragon fire that maims people. And I guess the plot is sort of violent, as it's a princess who immediately gets murdered. So you're right. It is pretty violent.
You already know the answer to the question. As soon as you know that there's going to be death and destruction, Rochelle is not watching it. You know, so I barely made it through Dune back in the day.
Well, the good news is most of the people survive. It's a Netflix movie. It's overall like, I guess, like a pretty wholesome film, all things considered. But
what made you watch this movie? What was the thing that drew you to this movie?
That's a great question. I sort of like that Millie Bobby Brown actress, mainly from Stranger Things. I haven't really seen her in anything that I've liked her in besides Stranger Things. But I wanted to watch it because of that. It also got like a fair amount of hype, which hype always gets me for movies. If something gets really hyped up, even if it's not my thing, I sort of want to watch it just so I can have conversations like this about it.
Love it.
Yeah. And so that's sort of what got me watching this. And it was just, and I thought that I might like it because, you know, dragons, those are sort of fun. Like a girl trying to fight dragons in a death cave, that sounds fun as well. But it was just like awful. Like the whole thing looked like a video game cutscene. It was just not good. Like the entire thing was CGI. All the dragon was CGI. They had like outside shots that looked like CGI. And it's like, you could have just like filmed this just a normal outside and it would have looked 100 times better. But it really made me sad for maybe the future of at least streaming movies, where they just dump these, like, I mean, it looks like it was made by, I don't want to say ChatGPT because it wasn't quite that bad, but it looked like it was made by a team of graphic artists, not a team of like movie people, which I don't know. It just made me sad.
Yeah. You know, and thinking of that, you know, sometimes we watch movies because our favorite actor or actress is in that movie, you know, but the plot or the concept behind the movie goes straight to pot, you know, so I get it. There are a lot of movies with creatures in them that are not really, I don't know if dragons really roam the earth, you know, but you know, probably not. So what else would they do except for CGI or some other kind of thing like that? I mean, is there other way to create a dragon?
That's a good question. You know, like, what I think they should have done is just not show the dragon so much. Like, if dragon is going to look so fake, just don't show it as much. Like, the dragon was on screen just as much, if not more, than, like, the actual actors were. And I think that was part of the badness, is just seeing this dragon all over the place, and it's just like, It's too much. And you know, our brain, like my brain is like, well, they don't have a real dragon there, so of course it's CGI. What could they have done instead? I don't know. I don't think if they would have made like a practical effect dragon or, you know, a dinosaur style, a Jurassic Park style dragon, that it would have looked as good either. It was, I don't know, it was just very disheartening to see that like this could be a real movie where it's just, you know, graphic designers going crazy. And you know, you get like a little bit of a plot, and then now it's the top movie on Netflix for some reason.
You know, we always like the damsel in distress, you know, and what better thing to be in distress than this fire-breathing monster coming to get the woman, and then if she's able to overcome the thing, you know, what better thing to happen? You know, she escapes the dragon, she kills all of her enemies, rah, 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 rah. We're excited about that. But then that's the end of the movie. You know, it doesn't relate to anything else worth talking about.
Yes,
Okay, dude.
absolutely.
So how
So,
many stars did you give it? Did you give it 5, 1, 12, minus 3?
I gave it, I think, 1.5 stars out of 5. It is definitely the worst movie that I've seen this year.
Wow.
The worst mainstream movie that I've seen this year. I'm sure I've seen some lesser known ones that are worse.
Gotcha. Okay.
Next up, and I know this is one that you've seen because we've talked about it a little bit offline. Unfortunately, I didn't love this one, but I do think that it makes for very interesting conversation. And that's the Book of Clarence, which is, I was trying to think of how to describe this in the write-up. And I mean, it's sort of a comedy. It's like a period-based comedy about the 13th disciple of Christ, who is, I assume this was just something that was made up for the movie. I had never heard this as like a as a real thing before, but he was like a disciple of Christ that is not mentioned in the Bible, and he's a black disciple, and it just is about his life trying to become a disciple and like sort of trying to scam the people at the time, but also sort of finding his own like way of belonging in the time. It was a very like, it was an odd mixture of themes, and that may be why I didn't like it. Is I was going in expecting it to be like a full comedy. And it wasn't really a comedy. It was just sort of this story of these two guys, and the group gets bigger. It first starts with two guys, and then it ends up being more trying to be not famous, but just trying to like make a mark on their society, sometimes good and sometimes good and sometimes bad ways. But my son told me this bit of critique about it, which I really agree with, but that he said it felt like it wanted to be a musical, but there was no music. Like, and I thought that was a very good description of it. Like, all these things happen and then they just sort of fizzle away. There's no like hooray moment. There's no moment where everyone bursts out into songs and starts singing, although it looked like there could have been.
You know, what I found interesting about the movie, it was too choppy. It is choppy throughout the entire movie, right? So they start them, and forgive me for those of you who have not seen it, put your hands over your ears or go get a Coke or something. I'm sorry, a Pepsi. Don't drink that garbage Coke. Pepsi's the best. Okay.
We're gonna have to have a sidebar conversation about that. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard, Rochelle.
Yay, Pepsi. Yay, Pepsi. Best ever. You know, remember, you can fry bacon with Coke. You cannot fry bacon with Pepsi. That tells you how bad Coke is. Okay. And they used to put the drug Coke in Pepsis. I mean, in Coke. So just so you know, Coke is just bad all around. Okay, going back to the Book of Clarence. Okay. So they start the movie with a chariot race with some woman that is supposed to be Mary or some Mary-like person, right? And they lose. And they don't give you any build up to why this is happening, right? It's just starting. But later on in the movie, it has some value that's not really explained. You know, you kind of just have to thread that into something, you know, so there's that, right? And the person who is Clarence has this sidekick or his buddy, right? And so that's very choppy, right? And then, you know, there's this theme of cannabis throughout the entire movie, right? And I have no problem with it. Yay, cannabis, legalize it across the entire planet. Everybody legalize cannabis, you know, especially medical cannabis, legalize, right? Okay, so there's that, right? So then there are these themes and things that happen throughout the movie that goes left and right and up and down, and they're not connected. They make no sense. You know, it's just like maybe the person who directed this movie was smoking too much cannabis. I don't know, but it's not clear. They don't connect, you know. Even the way it ends, it doesn't connect to anything except that, again, close your ears, go get your nice cold Pepsi, best thing ever, you know. And the end, Clarence is killed, but he rises. Mind blown, because nobody rises but Jesus Christ, you know. The history of anything, the only person who rises is Jesus Christ. So this is another one of those things that goes off the rails there, but Christ, Clarence rises.
Yeah.
And throughout the movie, there's these little light bulb things that appears over his head, and he rises, and the light bulb thing abides and goes off.
I sort of like the light bulbs going over the head, but like it didn't really make any sense. Like
None
it's
whatsoever. Throughout the whole movie, none of them made any sense. None.
But there were they did have like a couple of funny. I thought there were a couple of good jokes in there, a couple of good
Oh,
scenes, but overall.
it was funny. It was absolutely funny. You know, it was funny. But again, you know, somebody needed to bring some needle and thread and sew these parts together and make a story that helps you get to understanding what it is. So you do understand that he's trying to become an apostle. Okay, so we know. You know, if you believe biblical lore, there's only 12 apostles, right? So there's nothing, if you, and I mean, I read every single type of Christian and any kind of, so I've read the Quran, the Torah, you know, you name it, I've read it. Nothing in any of these documents talk about any kind of apostle other than those do we know about in Christianity, those do we know about in Muslim. You know, there's no clearance. So, you know, this is somebody's, you know, that cannabis is really working well for somebody, you know, because they came up with this new apostle. You know, it's a really good movie, feel good, funny movie. There's a few moments of strife and violence and all that stuff, but I'm right there with you. You know, I would give it 3 stars for the sake of, you know, some brevity there,
Yeah. Is
some
this
moments.
3 out of 5 or 3 out of 10?
3 out of 10.
Okay. Gotcha.
There's a little thread of romance there. You know, there is and I said this before on this podcast, there is a place where, how do you describe the guy who he owes the money to? How would you describe him? That
I think I would call him like I think he's a brothel owner or a sort of like a not like a crime boss, but just somebody who is like maybe doing something slightly illegal in the old school Israel, like either a brothel owner or a bar owner or something that's just a little bit under the under what would be considered legal at the time.
But would you consider him a villain, or I mean, how would you describe him in the movie?
I would say he starts off, I thought he was going to be like the main villain, but sort of like halfway through, they end up not necessarily teaming up, but they sort of come around to being on the same team, and the Romans end up being like the main antagonist in the film. And the what I described as like the brothel owner, he sort of ends up being a protagonist in the end.
Absolutely. What I was going to say is, like, there is a line where Clarence and his group and the protagonist that you just described, the protagonist has a conversation with the Roman something and that. I don't think he's the head, but one of the Roman captains, if you will. And he has a line in there that rocked me to my core. The reason why I bought this movie, because I don't buy very many movies that are not, you know, that sends a message to me, that he says to the Romans that really shook me. He said, you know, everything you have took from us, we still managed to survive, you know, and with all the power that you have, you're just a little man. And to me, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, it's not exact. So when you go watch the movie, I hope you all had your hands over your ears the whole time we've been talking. But when you go watch this movie or buy this movie, whatever it is you do, the line that he says is so powerful. And it's not that, you know, I mean, any disrespect to people who may be bothered by that line, but it's so powerful to me because I say this all the time. From the moment that Africans were brought to this country and enslaved, the battle to climb has been hard. Every single time we have had whatever gains we have made stripped, and we have to climb all over again. And no matter what it is, we still rise. And that to me was a powerful line. So, but overall, Drew, we're not going to spend much time talking about the Book of Clarence, a 3 out of 10. But it was, like I said, there's no part of the movie that you could just follow. You know how you get a story and all of a sudden you can follow it all the way through and you're just like, oh my God, this is great. This is great. Yeah, no. This movie, it does, you know what the story is and you know what his aim or his goal is. It just, yeah.
It's disappointing. And like the trailer looked great. Like I thought it was
It
going to
really
be
did.
like amazing. Yeah. And it was, yeah, it's a bummer when things don't live up to the trailer.
Really, I was so looking forward to it. And so the same is true. I gotta find out where I might go out the house today. I might go out and go watch the Marley movie because like my daughter's going out of town. My husband, and nobody won't go with me to the movie, but I might go see it by myself. I might go sit in the movie and see it by myself.
Yeah,
Like I
nice.
really want to see that movie, but I want to go to see so and I know we haven't got to that. It's not released. It doesn't come out until when does it come out on Friday? The Magical Negroes
Oh,
reunion.
yeah.
So the whole concept of that movie, the title of it is offensive. The concept of what they're trying to do is offensive, and it almost goes back to the American Fiction movie. It's offensive. That movie's offensive. This movie's going to be offensive. So, Drew, I can't wait till you watch it. When are you going to watch it, Drew?
I don't think this weekend, but hopefully next weekend.
I might come to your house so I can go watch it with you.
All right.
Because I would love to hear what you think about the movie afterwards. So maybe when you go to watch it, maybe we can get together and talk about it afterwards. We'll figure
Excellent.
out
I
the time.
would
Maybe we can talk about it on the podcast. Because
that.
I think that some of these movies, like you did, you went to see American Fiction, right? I can't wait till we talk about that. Okay, so one of the things I think we're going to do on this, we're going to devote one day a month on this podcast to movies because I just think there's some of these sense such power. We don't need to talk about violence, Drew. So we're not going to talk about scary movies and violence, Drew. We could talk. We just lump all those together for Drew at the movies, but we needed to have one of these days about movies. Okay, so Drew, move
Oh,
on
yeah.
to your next movie. I'm sorry.
So speaking of no violence, next up we got the only horror movie on the list, which is Imaginary.
Oh my God.
Rochelle, you're gonna be in for a real surprise towards the end of this one. I think there's something that's gonna come up that may make you want to watch it. But
No. I looked at the trailer and I'm like, oh my God, I'm scared. I'm scared. I need my mommy. My mommy been dead 47 years. I need my
oh.
mommy.
Well,
God.
it was not that scary, I would say. It
Oh.
was there are scary moments, but the plot is a woman and her family move back into her childhood home, and her stepdaughter finds her old teddy bear, and the teddy bear has like an imaginary friend attached to it, and the imaginary friend is wreaking havoc, right? Like monster imaginary friend.
Another Megan, what in the real world?
Oh, there's gonna be a spoiler coming up, Rochelle. Hold on.
Good
So
Lord.
the it was like very low budget. It was made for $10 million, and it made $10 million opening weekend. So there's going to be a sequel, and the
Of
rumor
course
is
there is.
Megan's going to be in the sequel, and maybe the imaginary thing and Megan will battle it out because they're all owned by the same film company. So the imaginary friend is like, I mean, it's imaginary or whatever, and it's an awful looking CGI bear with like giant teeth, and that's really like the only thing. And again, like this is a spoiler alert for Imaginary. Like, yes, the imaginary friend is a monster, but I sort of enjoyed it. The whole thing was fine. They used CGI for the monster bear, of course, and I thought that looked pretty good. And then they had like a weird dream world location that had like indoor rain clouds that looked pretty good. And I thought that was like a very, in contrast to Damsel, which was just like 100% CGI with barely any acting, I thought Imaginary did a really nice job of, we're just going to do like little touches of CGI here and there. Again, movie's not great. I'll probably never watch it again, but I enjoyed the hour and a half of it. And, I'll probably watch a sequel, especially if they bring Megan into the sequel.
Can you imagine Megan and a bear fighting? Okay, so think about this. So we have, I don't know if it's released yet, but Kong and the Godzilla. Okay, so that's come back. And so now not only do we have Kong and Godzilla, we have humans helping Kong, plus there's a baby Kong and there's Godzilla. And so now not only are we exposed to that, now we're gonna have Megan and a teddy bear. What else?
Yeah,
What else
it's gonna
can
be
we?
amazing.
So, no, it's not. And so not only that, so the next thing you're gonna do, you're going back to Shining and the Exorcist and put them together in a movie. Why not that? We can
And
have
they
no,
might.
dude. No, no, no.
Did you watch the new Exorcist movie, the Exorcist prequel?
Oh.
That's not on my list, but that was not a good one, by the way. You can stay away from that
So, Drew, I have decided, as I have entered into senior citizenship, I'm not going to intentionally scare myself to death. So I'm hard of hearing, so my son, my beautiful little boy, walks up on me randomly and scares the living daylights out of me. So I don't need anything else to scare me. So I'm in the laundry doing laundry, and all of a sudden there's this giant standing over me and just taps me on my shoulder. I'm about to jump out of my skin. So no, I do not need Megan and Teddy Bear and The Shining and The Exorcist and anybody else to come scare me. Already I'm scared out of my wits. So no, thank you. No, thank you. I you to scare me. You tell me all these frightening stories. No, thank you, Drew.
Well, the next one, a little bit scary, but it doesn't have too much scariness in it. And that was like the highly anticipated Dune Part Two,
Oh my
which
God.
I know you've seen the first. And this is we're, so there's many Dunes. There's the original David Lynch, which I think both Rochelle and I are huge fans of.
Love it.
There was a mini series on Sci-Fi that they did. Did you ever watch that mini series? I don't know if you
I
saw
did,
that, Rochelle.
unfortunately. Depressing.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No. So you have to remember, I'm a Dune aficionado, right? So every book Frank Herbert ever wrote from the beginning, I mean, I read them like they were going out of style. I still have them around the house somewhere, lovely. So then they make a movie. Not quite, but pretty good. To capture what the book said, right? And then we have the disappointments, the heartbreaks, and the letdown, right? So the one that they made, what year was this? 2017, 2018? What year was it that they made it?
It might have been 2019. When was it? Dune One. Oh, 2021.
It was disappointing. Very, very disappointing. It's like, oh, come on. And so now they have this one out, that's out now. And when the guy stands up, he says, "I am Paul Atreides." His voice sounds weak. His voice doesn't make me feel like, oh, I want to rush out and see this movie. When the what was the one? 20, I don't know what year is this, the original one, David Lynch. His voice, oh my God, he sold you. You knew he wanted to see it. The little lady coming in there that he catches the needle in his hands. Oh my,
Yeah.
love,
I agree that that one was like amazing.
amazing, amazing.
But I
And
think you
think of.
might like part two, though. I think part two is definitely better than part one, this new remade part two. It's still not as good as that original David Lynch one, but it is getting there.
Okay, Drew, I'm gonna trust you to go see this one. But Drew, I'm gonna tell you, it's just like, it's like when you make an original. So it's like Drew Stinnett. You can't make another Drew. There's only one Drew. It's like, when are you gonna make a AI comes and crafts a Drew? It's not gonna be Drew. There's only one Drew. You can't make
AI could get pretty
another
close.
Drew.
AI could get pretty close. We could get in there.
Nah. All the little quirks and all the things that make you drool, nothing can capture that. But
Well, it's funny you mentioned the quirks, because one of the things that I enjoyed about Dune 2 was, like, they did film, I'm going to say, on location. And by that, I don't mean they went to another planet, of course, but they actually filmed in deserts. And I thought that looked amazing compared to what they could have done for much cheaper, which would just be like do a green screen like Damsel does. But those like real locations look great. All the like weird alien spaceships look great. I was very impressed by all of the film magic technology in it. Oh, they got a good like worm riding scene. I would say the worm riding scene is almost as good as the David Lynch one. It's pretty nice.
when the little girl says, because he is a his at cataract, and she pulls that plug, and that little fat man rolls into that worm. Man,
Oh,
I watched that part at least. I have it on DVD somewhere around here. I
yeah.
watch that thing all the time. Star Trek, The Search for Spock, War Games. Like I have a series of movies that when I'm like people talk about binging. Like all of this, yeah, no. There are some movies that are just top grade. The people who made these movies, The Wrath of Khan, there are some movies that just rate like in the top. And I'm not a violent kind of girl. So, The Wrath of Khan, there's some parts of it I have never seen. Parts of
That
Black Panther,
ear
I've
thing
never
where they
seen.
put the bug in
Yep,
the
never seen it.
ear.
I've heard about it, but I've never seen it. In parts of movies, I don't watch the violent part, but these are movies that rate right there, classic. I mean, I have to whisper this because I don't want to lose my black card. But there are parts of the Wakanda I've never seen, because it just wasn't that good. But there are some movies that are just exceptionally well made, just really well made movies. And so sometimes watching the sequel, like all of these franchise that have 20, 15, 11 copies of it, like the Tom, what's his name? Tom, Mission Impossible, Tom.
Tom Cruise.
The 50th installation of that loses it. You did good work in the beginning. Stop making all these sequels. Well, I guess they make it for the money. But Star Trek is the same. Star Wars, all of them the same way. All of these, okay. You know where I'm going with this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
When I watched the last Mission Impossible, like it was a big disappointment, because like all of the action scenes, almost all of the action scenes were in the trailer, and like we saw it, like we saw it before going to the movie, and we saw it like many times before going to the movie. It was very disappointing.
Right. And it's just like, as a paying member of the audience, don't dumb down my brain, as a fan. Of this franchise or of this series, I've already been there. I bought into it, right? I'm a diehard Trekkie. I love everything Star Trek. I don't watch any of the whatever that come after Star Trek, the Star Trek with Picard. No, nope, not none of that. None of that. Whatever the mo other pla nope.
You might like that Star Trek Strange Worlds. That was a decent. I really enjoyed that one. That's a show.
Can't get past, I'm James T. Kirk. I'm Spock. There are no other people, that all these other people, I don't know who they are. And this, that might be a quirk in my personality. I can't move past my people. These are people I came with. I can't move on to these new people. Okay, let's go to your
Well,
next picture. We might be
Kirk and
running out of
Spock do
time.
show up in Star Trek Strange Worlds. They're just like younger versions, and they're not like the main characters,
Nah.
but
I would tell anybody who's these new Star Trek fans to watch the original ones. Once you get the original ones in your skin, these other ones don't do it for you. You just can't see it. Picard is good. He's a really good substitute for James T. Kirk, but that's just all he is. He's a substitute for James T. Kirk. He's not the same thing. He has a very nice style. He's very clean and neat, but he's no James T. Kirk. That's all I can say.
For
You
sure.
have time for your next movie?
Oh, yeah. We'll fly through these. We only got two more. We'll fly through them. This is one that I did not think I was going to like, but ended up liking quite a bit, and it's called Drive Away Dolls. It was originally called Drive Away Dykes, but they had to change the name for obvious reasons. But they do use that name in the credit sequence. And it is about two women who are lesbians. They are not a couple together, but they are lesbians, and they are driving a borrowed car down the East Coast that has, like, unknowingly to them, they have like a mobster's suitcase in it, so they're being like chased by the mob through the South. And what I thought was interesting about it was they had several moments that reminded me of Green Book, or the Green Book, where as they're going through these southern towns, like every town they hit, their first question is like, is this town safe for us? Like, how does this town, like, what's going to happen to like two gay women when they come into this town? Should we keep on driving, or is it okay for us to stay here? And that was like a struggle that I guess I've never really thought about for gay people. And it made it, it added an interesting level to it. Specifically, they go to one town and there's a picture, there's a billboard that says, like, it's a politician's billboard and it's a white family, and it says, we respect traditional families and like American values or something like that. And when they saw that billboard, they were like, no way we can stop here. Like, they will hate us here. And I thought that was an interesting, it was an interesting aspect that I was not expecting in a in sort of a goofy caper movie.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, the reference to the Green Book is exactly the case. You know, even today, you know, we still have sundowner towns. We still have places where black and brown people cannot travel safely, you know, even during daylight hours. So, you know, you could see how that would be the case for people that are outwardly gay. In other words, they're showing, you know, if they're traveling as just two women, you know, sisters or whatever, you could make that assumption. But if they're outwardly displaying their sexual orientation, it could be unsafe for them to travel. So I could see how that is. And you know, although the Green Book is no longer in fashion, people still use it as a means to know, and there are updated versions of, you know, where it's safe to travel, you know. So I can see how that would be the case. So what did you like about the movie?
It was funny. It had like a very raunchy sense of humor. Like, there were a lot of sex toy jokes in it, which like I think those jokes are funny, but like we saw it in the theater, and there was a couple next to us that is I don't know how old they were. They were older than me, but they laughed so hard whenever there was a sex toy joke. It made the movie a million times better. Like, just seeing this old couple sitting next to us laughing their head off anytime something inappropriate came up. I really liked that. The plot was fine. Like, it was, I mean, they pretty much take this car, it's got a suitcase in it, and now they have some hitmen sort of chasing them, trying to catch up to them. And there was a lot of there were a lot of scenes about, I guess I would just call it like lesbian living, that I'd never really thought about before, or never ex obviously experienced before, but were there looking to pick up other people or go to parties or even just like gay bars. Like, all of that was an interesting aspect of society that I've never experienced, and I've never really seen in film before. So I thought that was it was enlightening to me, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I haven't, you know, I let me ask you this question. How do you determine what movie to see? Do you pick movies based on the genre, or do you pick movies based on what you've seen in a trailer? How do you determine what movie to go see?
A little bit of both. So we go to the movies like as a family at least once every weekend, and often we'll go twice, or me and my son will go for a second time. So we'll usually see one like mainstream movie, like something that we know all three of us will like, whether it's horror or action or whatever, and that'll usually be like the big release. And then we'll see that on Saturday, and then Sundays we usually go see something that's not quite as popular. So like Drive Away Dolls, that's one my wife didn't want to see that one, so just my son and I went to that one on a Sunday as a like what do we think that we want to see?
Yeah.
But it's
Yeah.
mostly trailers, I guess. Trailers, reviews, buzz.
Yeah. We so we typically go to see movies based on one, the content. Typically we try to go see one movie a month. So my husband is not going to go see a science fiction movie. Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
Everett goes to the movies if we make them. He prefers to see his movies on streaming. He's not interested in going out to the movies theater. He said either it's going to come out on streaming in a couple of days, or I'm not going to a movie theater. So what that ends up leaving me is I either go to movies by myself or I go to movies with my daughter. My daughter's not going to go see a science fiction movie either. So she's either going to go see a romantic rom-com, I think they call them, a black movie, or a movie of something Swifty, like, if you know what I mean, some kind of girly kind of thing that I'm not gonna go
Okay.
see. I'm not gonna go see it. So that ends up leaving us not go see a movie whatsoever. So what I end up doing is as soon as the movie comes out, I start looking for it. Is it going to be on sale on Amazon, or where can I go buy it? So and I'm not going to the movies very often. So it's very interesting. So that movie somehow it caught your interest. How did you find that movie?
We
Because
so it
I didn't
caught.
see any preview about that movie at all.
Oh, interesting. So they put a bunch of previews for it out about 6 months ago, and then it got delayed. And I don't think they've re-released the trailers. The big reason, or the reason I was excited for it is it's directed by, look at this, which one it is. My two favorite, or one of my favorite directing pairs, are the Coen brothers, who did they did movies like Fargo is probably their biggest one, Big Lebowski. They've done like Raising Arizona. They did Raising Arizona. They do all of these great movies, and they have started to make movies not as a partnership anymore. So one brother went out and did Hamlet on his own, which was really good. And then this brother, Ethan, this is his first directed movie where he didn't have his brother helping out. Like usually they're a pair. And so I was very interested to see. I didn't love Hamlet, so I was very interested to see like what the other Coen brother did. And it does, I think, show a good example of Hamlet, like not a funny story, right? Like there's no jokes in that. Hamlet is actually, was it Macbeth? It may have been, I can't remember. One of them did a Shakespeare movie. It was very dry, very good, but very dry. So I was curious to see what the other brother by himself would do. And sort of unexpectedly, the other brother was like, it's all super quirky, everything is a joke, there's nothing really serious in it. And I thought that was an interesting takeaway, because I think their best movies are the ones they do together that have a combination of something really serious and just like incredibly funny moments. And I think those make great films. And this Drive Away Dolls just had none of the seriousness of other Coen Brothers movies, which was unfortunate, but I was glad to actually see it. And I still enjoyed it, even though it didn't have those funny moments, if
Yeah,
that makes sense.
it does. I just did not remember even seeing it or hearing about it, but that doesn't mean anything. I get most of my information either from the news or podcasts.
Well, so the last one on the list is an. I'm guessing you haven't seen this one. This one it is on streaming though, and it's called Perfect Days. This is my favorite movie of the year so far, and it is about a middle-aged Japanese man whose job is to clean those high-tech toilets in Tokyo. And the movie just follows him through his days cleaning toilets and enjoying life. And I thought it was amazing. It was just like a very sweet movie. There is conflict in it. I mean, you're not just watching him clean toilets for 2 hours. Like he goes, you see his routine, you see him interacting with other people, and then you see what happens when the routine goes awry or when things don't go the way that he expects them to be. But it was just like this super sweet movie of this dude living like a life that on its surface sounds awful. Like who wants to be a toilet cleaner in Tokyo for their entire life. Like, that doesn't sound like something that is attractive to me. But after watching this little movie and seeing the actual life, I was like, I mean, I'm not going to move to Tokyo to be a toilet cleaner, obviously, but
I would hope not.
it had me thinking about it. It was like, well, what could you do that just, provides for a, simple and adequate life? Like, yeah, he worked all day and then he had He would go out to eat, he would go to a bar and see a bunch of regulars, and then he would come home and read a book and just repeat the day over and over again. And like, he loved that life and it worked out for him. And I thought that was an interesting choice for a film.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you have a very unique series of movies and things you watch. I remember once I had a problem with my iTunes. Apple has been fussing at me for years to get me to convert to Apple Music, and every once in a while I'll have a problem with my iTunes, and so I have to get an Apple technician to help me figure out what I'm doing. And one of the persons who looked at my She said, "You have the most unique set of music, because I, Barbra Streisand, Frank Sinatra, Jay-Z, Chris Brown, I have everything in my music." She said, "You have the most, strange series of music artists I've ever seen." I said, "Yeah, because I like it all. I don't discriminate.
Nice.
Black, blue, green, orange, purple, whoever's singing, I like it." And I think that can be said about your list of movies. You like everything. There's no one thing you like it all. And that's very interesting, because it gives you a very wide, spectrum of things that you bring into the space that you like. And the fact that you and your son together like these movies makes it even more interesting, because that means you have someone to talk and share these thoughts about what you've seen. So that's really good. I, on the other hand, would not be a good person to talk to, because I think only one of those movies you saw that I saw. I haven't even seen the Dune movie yet, and I'm still debating whether I'm going to go see that movie. So,
But you've always got an interesting take on them, even if you hadn't seen them. You had interesting takes on all these. And I think we're going to have to do a Music with Rochelle episode someday, too. That would be fun.
yeah, but I got a lot of curse words in my music, so we might
That's
get
all right.
sued by the FTC, or somebody, because I don't believe in editing out. Say what you think and think what you say, because I think that one of the interesting things that entertainment gives us is the ability to move outside ourselves, right? You're not stuck in whatever world you're living in. If you take this opportunity, you can step beyond your normalness, right? You go beyond that, because one of the beautiful things about Dune is, think about that world, right? So whatever world that they were living in, Paul Atreides and his father and his concubine, they're living in this very comfortable world, and they move out of this world into this other world, and you can actually travel with them as they move, and you see all these steps and all of these people. It's so a wonderful world. And I'll take you one better. I mean, this is a comedy from start to finish, but Bruce Willis and what's the I can't think of a comedian. What's my favorite comedy mo movie with Bruce Willis and no, what's the movie? And what's the I can't think. What is that movie? I watch it at least, it comes on at least once a month. What is the name of that movie?
Die Hard, Fifth Element.
Fifth Element. Fifth Element. It's another one of those movies. It's really as hokey as it is, it's really an interesting movie, because you get to move with these people and all these things. So there's one where these 50th century cops tells him to put his hands in these circles, and the guy in the next thing comes in there and he asks him, "What are you?" So Bruce Willis says he's a meat popsicle, and the guy says, "Go F yourself," and they bag the guy. I mean, just think about that one scene. It's just really hilarious. But like, you could really see yourself in this scene, right? And the Asian guy gives him free lunch. It's just, there's something, really, you transporting yourself into this scene, in this beautiful, you could see it. You could actually see the thing. And I watched The Fifth Element. I watched Star Trek. I mean, I watch all of these things pretty regularly, because they take allow me to get outside of the confines of my home or my mind or wherever I am. And that's what movies give us. They give us a chance to be beyond the normal. It takes us outside of our space and lets us be somewhere else, and to see how others live, and to give us a little bit of enjoyment for a little bit of time, and with a nice cold Pepsi.
I don't know why you're drinking Pepsi, Rochelle. That's my mind is blown right now. And I know we're about at time, but I also wanted to mention, since we're talking about Fifth Element, Fifth Element, do you know about the Fifth Element connection to Dune?
I do, yes. So
So
go ahead, share.
the before the David Lynch Dune came out, Dune was going to be directed by a guy named Alejandro Zodorowsky, I think is how you say his name. He is an Argentinian director who had this huge book. His version of Dune looked like amazing. He had tons of drawings. He had cast, I think, like Mick Jagger was going to be in it, and he had all of these like really cool futuristic pieces of art to make Dune with. And then it fell apart, so he didn't get to direct it. And then it went to David Lynch. But the director ended up making a comic called The Incal, I think, Incal. And its artwork is so similar to The Fifth Element that Zodorowsky sued the director of The Fifth Element for stealing his ideas, because all of those like space scenes with the packs, with the city, with like layers and layers of traffic and taxis going back and forth, like it was almost stolen directly from his artwork. So I always thought that was an interesting connection, where you have this Dune movie that never got made but is still influencing movies, coming out today.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that we are always stealing from someone, always. There's no way to say that there's any, you know, someone said this many, many years ago, we're always stealing from the past. You know, you're not, isn't, there are very few things that are original and new now because all the ideas we came from somewhere else. I was watching something on television the other day and they were talking about Pablo Picasso. A lot of his ideas and art came from African art, you know, and I mean, like,
Oh, really?
I didn't know that, you know, I mean, like, it's amazing how little we know, but we can always look back and see where there are inches in our lives that we have just pinched from somewhere else. We often say we're standing on the shoulders of giants. Take technology, you know, we borrow constantly from the past. You know, very few things that we do in technology are brand new. So AI, you know, go back. What is Odyssey 2001? You know, go back. You know, we're not creating anything new. We're just building on what we've done before in the past. And movies are doing the exact same thing.
I think that's a great spot to end this. So we will go ahead and wrap up. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Feel free to send us any movie suggestions or podcast suggestions to eminentteachnology@gmail.com. And we will talk to you all next week.
Get a Pepsi.